Well, we'll try again. You have your Bibles. Look with me to Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke, the 24th chapter. Good to be with you. It's a beautiful morning to just to be out and be able to come and assemble with the saints of the Lord. Be able also to come together and remember the Lord's death and the blessings that come with it. Sorry for my throat. It seems to have been this way for several weeks and might be that way for a few more weeks. Luke, the 24th chapter. I was thinking about and putting together a lesson of the necessities of the gospel. And I was reading from the 46th verse, Luke 24, 46. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And I was going to develop that thought a little bit, the idea of the necessities of the gospel. Jesus just says it was necessary that some things happen, some things be set in place, and we're going to develop the idea of what was in the mind of God and the things that he had expected of people and their response to his offer of salvation. And you do it that way, but I was surprised to find out that the word necessary or the word necessity is not used that often in the Bible. It's used more in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. And what happens is that the New Testament kind of reverses the word order or kind of changes it a little bit. And so it becomes something that is stated almost in the negative, but still makes the same point. And I thought, well, we'll continue with that and just look at that for a while. Necessary, we all know, means the idea of something that's inescapable. It's essential. It's indispensable. It's something that has to be. Of course, we all know that. And we understand what necessary means. And some things have always been necessary to God. Some things have always been set forth for mankind to God and his relationship to his God. All the way back in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, you remember probably the most famous verse out of Ecclesiastes is Ecclesiastes 12. And we read verse 13. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. He is just saying there's something that is responsible for mankind. If you look in other translations, instead of just saying that this is man's all, others will sometimes say this is what being a human is all about. Fearing God and keeping his commandments. And it's kind of like that. Some things are necessary with God. It's our attitude, but not only that, it's our doing of something, and it's the life that we live. Whether it's said negatively or positively, we understand what God said when he said, "Do not eat of the tree." And we know how that went. Or in the other one, when he told Cain and Abel, offer a sacrifice, and Abel offered of the flocks, and God had respect to that, and that's why we understand by faith things were spoken by God in Hebrews the 11th chapter. Sometimes God just makes a statement, and that's it, but we recognize the necessity of it, the essential nature of it. Like you run in a concordance, like the word, do not. I mean, it's like 1,100 times in the Bible. I mean, just some things God just flat says, do not do. And sometimes people do it anyway. And that's the sad part about it. We shouldn't be surprised then if there are many things that are necessary, that are essential, indispensable, but may not be said with the word necessary. And I thought I'd just go on with it. Look with me in John 15. Give my first thought and example of it. 1 John, the 15th chapter. And we read Well, we can read the first five verses, but let's just read the verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. But what a statement. What a statement about who he is and just how he says it. I might have a great education. I might have a tremendous job with all the frills. I might have a beautiful home. I might have friends galore. I might be able to travel the world and be one of the movers and shakers in society, which is the way people look at success in life. But Jesus just brings all of that to a screeching halt by asking a question about your life. Matthew 16, verse 26. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and do what? Lose his own soul. And all of a sudden, just that question puts everything in a proper perspective, which is why we need the understanding of the Bible. What is our life worth if we don't have the teachings of the Lord or even the Lord in fellowship with us or us in fellowship to Him? We're eternal beings. We're not going to cease to exist when we die. I apologize. And it's my wife's fault. She's a nurse. But just think about it for a moment. I guess that'll be about it. Someone has said, without dreams, we reach to nothing. And without love, we feel nothing. But without Jesus, we are nothing. And that's just, I always thought that was a tremendous thought about the necessary things of the Lord. We're created in His image. We're like God. We're spiritual beings. We're moral beings. We're intellectual beings. We can think His thoughts. I can't bear fruit without the Lord. Go back with me to John 15th chapter. And this was the point Jesus was trying to make. I mean, just we just read verse 5. Just beginning verse 1. Look at all these statements. He says, I am the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Why, it's such a blunt statement. And it's just a powerful picture of the idea of recognizing, although he doesn't use the word necessity here or something that's necessary, he is just saying, without me, you are nothing. And it's so powerful that we need to recognize the needs that we have of God's word. And there's so many of these statements that Jesus makes in the Gospels or the writers of the New Testament write. Look with me over Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Might struggle on a little bit more. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, read this. And again, they're saying this is an absolute essential, something that is necessary. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, what? There is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And I'm not talking about cutting your finger and you put a Band-Aid on it and shed a little blood. I don't know what he's getting. The Bible understanding or picture of shedding the blood means what? Death. That's the idea he's getting at. That without the death, there is no remission. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The penalty must be paid. And we recognize that, and Jesus is the one that can offer that remedy for us. The blood of Jesus redeems us today. And again, not just the idea of the picture of blood, bloody handprints that we sometimes see. He's talking about his death. The death of the Son of God is the only thing that is the remedy for us. We all know what Matthew 26:28 says. Just that idea, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There's a necessity here, a picture that we must gain from it. Look with me over in 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1, and we'll just read, begin at verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It is absolutely essential. And again, we can go all the way, continue through here. Look over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In Hebrews 11, we see this necessity idea, something that must of necessity be. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's what? Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. There's another one of these things where We recognize that we can't do anything without Christ, and we can't do anything without His death, but our response to that is just as necessary. We must have a faith that we see described here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Without faith, it's impossible. Not any kind of faith. Not some kind of faith, but we're going to have to stop right there, I believe. I'm sorry, brother. We can't go any further. Let us understand our need of Christ and His sacrifice for us. And if you can respond this morning with a faith in Him to be baptized into Christ, you would surely enjoy the blessings of His death. If you're subject, would you please come and we stand and sing?